Oh, I am glad to see you again once more, my beloved kindren, my bewitched babushkas. It's me, your scary godparent, here once again with my flesh-bound storybook spread upon my knees, something clawing at the spine to get free, and wails of sorrow weeping from between the pages. Our final story is one about a very well-known acquaintance of mine, the Baba Yaga. We'll hear what happens when she takes on a young girl as her apprentice, but winds up going hungry when she can't eat the delicious child as a snack, a disappointment I know all too well myself. I suppose there are some other frightful things in the story as well, including disembodied hands, live incineration, and, horror of horrors, a royal wedding.
Vasilisa the Beautiful. Once upon a time, in a certain kingdom there lived a merchant. He lived with his wife for 12 years and had only one daughter, Vasilisa the Beautiful. The girl was 8 years old when her mother died. As she was dying, the merchant's wife called her daughter to her, pulled out a doll from under the blanket and gave it to her, saying, "Listen, my dear Vasilisa, remember and carry out my final words. I'm dying, and along with my parental blessing, I leave you this doll. Always keep her with you, and don't show her to anyone. If ever some grief happens to you, give her something to eat, and ask her advice. She will eat and tell you what to do to help with your misfortunes." Then her mother kissed her daughter and died. After his wife's death, the merchant grieved for a little while, as is proper, and then he started to think about getting married again. He was a good man, and there were plenty of potential brides, but the one who pleased him most was a widow. She was already a certain age and had two daughters of her own, almost the same age as Vasilisa. He thought she must be an experienced housewife and mother. The merchant married the widow, but he was disappointed in her and didn't gain a mother for his Vasilisa. Vasilisa was the prettiest girl in the village. Her stepmother and stepsisters envied her beauty and tormented her with all kinds of work, hoping she would get thin from the work and her skin would darken from the wind and the sun. The poor girl had no kind of life at all, but Vasilisa bore it all without complaining. Every day she grew more plump and beautiful, while her stepmother and her daughters got skinnier and uglier from spite, even though they sat with their hands folded like aristocratic young ladies. And how could this be? Well, Vasilisa's little doll helped her. How could the girl have handled all the work without that? But often Vasilisa herself would have nothing to eat. She would save the tastiest morsels for her doll. In the evening, once everyone had gone to bed, she would shut herself in the storeroom where she lived and give the doll something to eat, saying, "Here, dolly, have a bite to eat, and listen to my grief. I live in my father's house, but I see no joy. My evil stepmother is trying to drive me off the surface of the earth. Tell me, how should I act and live, and what should I do?" Then the doll would have a bite and give her advice and comfort her. And in the morning, she would do all kinds of work for Vasilisa. Vasilisa then would just relax, sit in the shade and pick flowers, while her rows of vegetables were already weeded, the cabbages watered, and the water carried, the stove heated. The little doll also showed Vasilisa what herbs to use against sunburn, and so she had a good life with her doll. Several years passed. Vasilisa grew up and was old enough to marry. All the young bachelors in the city had an eye on her, but no one so much as looked at the stepmother's daughters. The stepmother grew even more spiteful and said to all of the suitors, "I won't let the younger one marry before the older ones do." After she saw the suitors out the door, she took her angry feelings out by beating Vasilisa. One day the merchant had to leave on a long trip for business. The stepmother moved to another house, and that house stood next to a deep, dark forest. In a glade in that forest stood a little house, and in that little house lived Baba Yaga. She didn't let anyone come near, and she ate people as if they were chickens. After they moved to this new house, the merchant's wife kept sending Vasilisa, who was so hateful to her, into the woods on some errand or another, but Vasilisa always came home safely. The little doll showed her the way, and didn't let her get close to Baba Yaga's house. Then autumn came. The stepmother gave all three girls evening tasks. She made one of them tat lace, the second knit stockings, and made Vasilisa spin, and she set them all to their lessons. She put out every light in the whole house, leaving only one candle where the girls were working, and then she herself went to bed. The girls worked, and the candle started to smoke. One of the stepmother's daughters picked up the tongs to fix the wick, but instead of doing that, she snuffed out the candle, as if by accident, though she was in truth following her mother's orders. "What can we do now?" said the girls. "There's no flame in this whole house, and we haven't finished our tasks. Someone has to run and get fire from Baba Yaga." "I have a light from my pins," said the one who was tatting lace. "I won't go." "I won't go either," said the one who was knitting a stocking. "I have light from my needles." "You have to get the fire," they both shouted to Vasilisa. "Go see Baba Yaga." And so they pushed her out of the room. Vasilisa went to her little storeroom, put the dinner she'd prepared in front of her doll, and said, "Here, Dolly, have a bite to eat, and listen to my grief. They're sending me to get fire from Baba Yaga. The Baba Yaga will eat me up." The doll had a bite to eat, and then her eyes lit up like two candles. "Don't be afraid, dear Vasilisa," she said. "Go where they're sending you, but always keep me with you. Nothing bad can happen to you at Baba Yaga's if I'm with you." Vasilisa got ready, put her doll into her pocket, crossed herself, and set off into the deep, dark forest. She walked along and trembled. Suddenly, a horseman galloped past her. He himself was white and dressed in white. The horse he rode was white, and the harness of the horse was white, and it began to get light in the woods. As she walked along further, another horseman galloped past. He himself was red, dressed in red, and on a red steed, and the sun began to rise. Vasilisa walked all night and all day, but she didn't reach the clearing where Baba Yaga's house stood until the evening. The fence around the house was made of human bones. Human skulls with eyes were stuck on the fence. There were human leg bones in the gate instead of posts, and there were arm bones instead of doors, and a mouth with sharp teeth instead of a lock. Vasilisa felt faint with horror, and stood there as if rooted to the spot. Then, suddenly, another horseman rode by. He was black, dressed in all black, and on a black steed. He rode up to the Baba Yaga's gate, and then disappeared as if the earth had swallowed him. Night had come. But the darkness didn't last long. The eyes of all the skulls on the fence lit up, and the whole clearing became as light as midday. Vasilisa was shaking with fear, but since she didn't know where to run, she stayed where she was. Soon a dreadful noise came from the forest. The trees cracked, the dry leaves rustled. Baba Yaga rode out of the forest, riding in a mortar, driving with a pestle, sweeping her tracks away with a broom. She rode up to the gate, stopped, sniffed all around her, and shouted, "Fie, fie, I smell a Russian smell. Who's there?" Vasilisa went up to the old woman fearfully, bowed low, and said, "I'm here, Granny. My stepmother's daughters sent me to get fire from you." "All right," said the Baba Yaga. "I know them. Live here for now and work for me, and then I'll give you some fire. If not, I'll eat you." And she turned into the gates and shouted, "Unlock my firm locks. Open wide my gate." The gate opened, and Baba Yaga rode in, whistling a tune. Vasilisa followed her, and then everything closed and locked back up. Once she got into the room, Baba Yaga stretched out and said to Vasilisa, "Serve up what's in the stove, I want to eat." Vasilisa lit a splinter from the skulls on the fence and began getting food out of the stove and serving it to Baba Yaga. There was enough food ready for 10 people. She brought out kvass, mead, beer, and wine from the cellar. The old woman ate and drank everything. All she left for Vasilisa was a bit of cabbage soup, a crust of bread, and a little piece of ham. Baba Yaga began to get ready for bed and said, "When I go out tomorrow, here's what I want you to do. Clean up the yard, sweep the house, make dinner, get the laundry ready, and go to the granary. Take a quarter measure of wheat
and clean the wild peas out of it. Be sure you do everything. If you don't, I'll eat you."
After she gave these orders, Baba Yaga began to snore. But Vasilisa put the old woman's leftovers in front of the doll, burst into tears, and said, "Here, dolly, have a bite to eat and listen to my grief. Baba Yaga has given me hard work, and she says she'll eat me if I don't finish everything. Please, please help me." But the doll answered, "Don't fear. Don't fear, my Vasilisa the beautiful. Eat some dinner, say your prayers, and go to bed. Morning is wiser than evening." Vasilisa woke up early, but Baba Yaga was already up. She looked out the windows. The eyes of the skulls were dimming. There the white rider passed, and it got completely light. Baba Yaga went out into the yard and whistled, and the mortar and pestle and broom appeared before her. The red horseman flashed by, and the sun rose. Baba Yaga got into the mortar and rode out of the yard. She drove with the pestle and swept her tracks away with the broom. Now Vasilisa was left alone. She looked around Baba Yaga's house, marveled at the abundance of everything, and stopped and thought, what task should she start first? She looked again and saw that all the work was already done. The doll was picking the last of the black grains out of the wheat.
"Oh, you saved me," said Vasilisa to the doll. "You've saved me from misfortune."
"All that's left to do is for you to make the dinner," answered the doll, climbing into Vasilisa's pocket. "Good luck as you cook it, and then rest all you want." Toward evening, Vasilisa set the table and waited for Baba Yaga. It started to get dark. The black horseman flashed by outside the gate, and it got completely dark. Only the eyes of the skulls showed light. The trees began to crack, leaves began to rustle, and Baba Yaga was coming. Vasilisa met her at the door.
"Is everything done?" asked Yaga.
"Be so good as to look for yourself, Granny," said Vasilisa.
Baba Yaga looked over everything and felt a little bit disappointed that there was nothing to be angry about and no reason to eat the girl. But she said,
"All right," and shouted, "My true servants, my heartfelt friends, grind the wheat for me."
And three pairs of hands appeared, picked up the wheat, and took it out of sight. Baba Yaga ate her fill and began to get ready for bed, then once again gave orders to Vasilisa.
"Tomorrow, do the same things as you did today. But besides that, take the poppy seed from the granary and clean the dirt out of it grain by grain. You see, someone mixed a lot of earth into it out of spite."
The old woman finished speaking, turned to the wall, and began snoring. Then Vasilisa went to feed her doll. The doll ate a bit and told her the same thing as the night before. "Pray to God, go to bed. Morning's wiser than evening. Everything shall be done, my little Vasilisa." In the morning, Baba Yaga rode out in her mortar again, and Vasilisa and the doll took care of all the work right away. The old woman returned, looked everything over, and shouted,
"My true servants, my heartfelt friends, press the oil out of the poppy seeds for me."
And the three pairs of hands appeared, grabbed the poppy seeds, and took it away. Baba Yaga began to eat the dinner. She ate, and Vasilisa stood there silently.
"Why don't you say anything?" asked the Baba Yaga. "You stand there as if you're mute."
"I didn't dare," answered Vasilisa. "But if you'll permit me, then I would like to ask you about a few things."
"Ask me. Only, not every question leads to good. If you know too much, you'll soon get old."
"Well, I want to ask you, Granny, about what I saw. When I was coming here, a horseman on a white horse rode past me, all white and wearing white clothes. Who is he?"
"That's my clear day," answered Baba Yaga.
"Then another horseman passed me, on a red horse, all dressed in red. Who is that?"
"That's my beautiful son," answered Baba Yaga.
"And what does the black horseman mean, Granny, the one who passed me at your very gate?"
"That's my black knight. They're all my faithful servants."
Then Vasilisa remembered the three pairs of hands, but said nothing.
"Why don't you ask me more?" asked Baba Yaga.
"That's good enough for me. You said yourself, Grandmother, that if I learn too much, I'll get old."
Baba Yaga laughed and said, "It's good that you ask only about what you saw outside the yard, and not what's inside. I don't like to have dirty laundry brought out of my house, and I eat the ones who are too curious. Now I shall ask you, how do you manage to finish all the work I order you to do?"
"My mother's blessings help me," answered Vasilisa.
"So that's it!
You get away from here, you blessed daughter. I don't want anyone here with a blessing.
She dragged Vasilisa out of the room and pushed her through the gate, took a skull with glowing eyes off the fence and stuck it on a stake, then handed it to her and said,
Here, here's the fire for your stepmother's daughters. Take it. After all, that's why they sent you here.
Vasilisa set off homeward at a run with her skull, which stopped burning as soon as morning came. Finally, toward the evening of the second day, she made it back to her own house. As she came up to the gate, she wanted to throw the skull away. Surely they didn't need fire anymore at home, she thought to herself. But suddenly she heard a dull voice out of the skull.
Don't throw me away. Take me to your stepmother.
She glanced at her stepmother's house and saw no light in any of the windows, and so made up her mind to take the skull in. For the very first time, they welcomed her warmly and told her that ever since she'd left, there'd been no flame in the house. They couldn't strike one themselves. No matter what fire they brought from the neighbors, it would go out as soon as they brought it into the room.
But perhaps your fire will last, said the stepmother.
And so they brought the skull into the main room, and the eyes gave the stepmother and her stepdaughter such a look from the skull that it burned them. They tried to hide, but no matter where they ran, the eyes kept following them. And toward the morning, it had burned them entirely to ashes. Only Vasilisa was left untouched. In the morning, Vasilisa buried the skull in the earth, locked the house with a key, and went into the city. She asked permission to live with an old woman who had no children, and she lived well there and waited for her father. Then one day she said to the old woman,
"Oh, it's so dull for me to sit with nothing to do, Granny. Would you please go buy me some of the best flax? At least I can do some spinning."
The old woman brought her home some of the very best flax. Vasilisa sat down to work. Her work went wonderfully. The thread came out thin and even as a hair. She collected a lot of thread, and it was time to start weaving, but they couldn't find loom reeds to suit Vasilisa's thread. No one would agree to make them. Vasilisa tried asking her doll, and her doll said,
"Bring me any old reed and an old shuttle and a horse's mane. I'll put everything together for you."
Vasilisa got everything necessary and lay down to sleep while the doll prepared a wonderful loom for her overnight. Toward the end of winter, the linen cloth was woven, and it was so fine that it could be put through a needle's eye in place of thread. In the spring, they bleached the cloth, and Vasilisa said to the old woman,
"Granny, go sell this cloth. Take the money for yourself."
The old woman glanced at the stuff and said,
"No, my child, no one may wear this kind of cloth except the Tsar. I'll take it to the palace."
The old woman set off to the Tsar's palace and walked back and forth under the windows. The Tsar caught sight of her and said,
"What do you need, old woman?"
"Your Royal Majesty," said the old woman, "I've brought you some wonderful goods. I don't want to show them to anyone but you."
The Tsar ordered the old woman shown in to him, and as soon as he saw the cloth, he marveled.
"What do you want for it?" asked the Tsar.
"'Tis no price, Father Tsar. I brought it to you as a gift."
The Tsar thanked the old woman and sent her home with presents. They began to make the Tsar shirts from the cloth. They cut them out, but they couldn't find a seamstress anywhere who could take it upon herself to make them. They looked for a long time. Finally, the Tsar summoned the old woman and said,
"You know how to spin it and weave this kind of cloth, so you must know how to sew shirts from it."
"I'm not the one lord who spun and wove the cloth," said the old woman. "It's the work of my ward, a young woman."
"So then let her sew them."
The old woman returned home and told Vasilisa about everything. Vasilisa said to her,
"I knew this work would not pass by my hands."
She shut herself in her room and got to work. She sewed without resting, and soon a dozen fine shirts were ready. The old woman took the shirts to the Tsar, and Vasilisa washed her face, combed her hair, got dressed, and sat by the window. She sat there and waited to see what might happen. Soon she saw the Tsar's servant come into the old woman's yard. He walked into the room and said,
"The Lord Tsar wants to see the master who worked out the shirts for him, and to reward her from his own royal hands."
Vasilisa went and appeared before the Tsar. The moment the Tsar saw Vasilisa the Beautiful, he fell madly in love with her.
"No," he said, "my beauty, I won't be separated from you. You are to be my wife."
Then the Tsar took Vasilisa by her white hands and sat her down beside him, and they held a wedding then and there. When Vasilisa's father returned, he rejoiced at her fate and came to live with the Tsar and his daughter. Vasilisa brought the old woman to live in the palace with her, and as long as Vasilisa lived, she always carried the little doll in her pocket. The end.
I am so very glad that you've joined me in these dark hours, my children, and let me be your scary godparent in this shadowed season. I'd love to stay and tell you more tales from my wicked little book, but alas, my supper is calling me. Or at least, I think I can hear it wailing from its cage. So I must be off until next time. But in the meantime, do make sure you're staying nice and plump for me. And perhaps I can leave my book here for you to peruse while I'm gone. After all, a good scare is always the best seasoning. Good night, children.
Good night.